All right, we're live. We're going live.
Is this episode quinceañera?
Quinceañera? Episode quince.
Is this our quinceañera, dude?
Quince, yeah, man. This is number 15 for all you no hablo español individuals out there.
Dude, we need like a big band in the background with like 16 Sirwin Vega subwoofers and, you know, just this big ridiculous setup all. It would be dope, dude.
It would be dope. So, seriously. 15, we're back. And
can you believe we've made it this far?
Not really. It's fucking incredible. No, it's awesome. So, back, it's good to be here. Good to be talking about Habanos again. Man, I'll tell you one thing. I love smoking non-Cubans and then coming to a Cuban because it's kind of refreshing. It is refreshing. It's just like, oh, this is chill. This is nice.
Well, I haven't been able to smoke much, honestly, in the last week because my nostrils are just like, and allergies are just out of control. It's harvest season here for almonds, and we're real big in almonds in this area. And I've got fields like a block that way. And anyways, I haven't been smoking much because I haven't been able to. And
smells like almonds outside. Yeah.
So you may be doing double duty this week. We'll talk about that later after the show.
That works. But, no biggies.
Yeah,
I was got cigar jukebox on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. That's
where we're going down awesome. Under.
So. Yeah, we're late, guys. We were talking off camera. I randomly went to the mailbox today and got this beautiful custom roll. You can see him on Instagram from Hector Luis Prieto, and I'm kind of freaking out about how good it is right now. So
nice.
Expect reviews to come in the near future. What are you smoking, boss?
I'm finishing this H. Upman Half Corona, which I haven't had in a little while, and God, by the way, it's damn tasty. But I'm going to be lining up a Ramon Iones Special Select 2007.
How old is the Half Corona, if you don't mind me asking?
It's like a year. It's pretty young. It's tasty, though.
Spice bomb still?
Oh, yeah.
Tons of spice. See, the original ones that I still have maybe a half a box left of the original. And they're still strong as can be for such a small cigar.
Yeah, it's got some kick. It's nice. It's a nice little wake me up. I smoked a Señoro by Jose Blanquete when I was on the phone with him. So
how's he doing?
He's doing well. He had to go to the hospital for this little minor thing yesterday, so he kind of missed an event. But he's fine. Yeah. He's doing an event today. He's flying back to the DR. He's still working on his newer blend. He's still working on a blend. He's not happy with it, but he's doing well.
Good.
But enough of Jose and Señoral and the non-Cubans. Today we're talking about Habanos, as we always are. But we're going to...
Yes.
Last time we talked about regional editions. This week we reviewed some limitadas. Limitada edición limitadas. Particularly the Monte Cristos from 2008 to 2010. And we're going to be talking about those, and we're going to be talking about limitadas, and, you know, we're just going to be having a good old time. So, do you want me to give the introduction on limitadas?
Sure, I'm really enjoying this cigar right now. So
you enjoy it. It's something special. It's something new. The year's 2000, Habanos decides, hey, we're going to start doing these little limited editions. And they decided that they're going to do four limited editions. And that
which
they're going
to start with?
I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to tell you. Let me get it. So, and, unlike the regionals, they're going to focus on the global brands. So this is the opportunity to make really special Hebas, Manis, Partagas, H. Upmans, Romeos, etc. Originally, they decided when they did a limitadas that the wrapper on these cigars was going to be a 2-year-old wrapper. That was what they originally planned for. But eventually, and pretty quickly actually, they decided that all the tobacco that was going to go in there would be aged 2 years additional before being rolled. So that's how it goes now. Every Habano for, you know, the 2008, that's probably 2006, 2005 tobacco. So that's how that goes. So the first ones, 2000, they did an Olla Monterey. They did the Monte Cristo Robusto, which was very popular. I've heard a lot of things about that. They did a Partagas Pyramides, and then they did the Romeo and Julieta Exhibition number 2. For the original the Exhibition number 2? You had to ask me, man. Now I got to look it up. I don't know. The Monte Cristo Robusto, that's a Robusto. The Olla was a Corona Gorda. No, it wasn't. It was a Grand Corona. It was like a 9x47.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, it was monstrous. The Romeo was... Oh, it was a double Corona.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, looking these up. I'm looking up. I made an Excel spreadsheet. Didn't really pay attention to it. They did a Pyramide, which now there is a Partagas Pyramide. And then, of course, you had the Monte Cristo Robusto. So that was that year, 2001. I think Cohiba is probably the most well-known. You know, 2001, they had the Pyramides. 2003 was the Double Coronas. Then the Sublimes in 2004. But in 2000, that was the big one. But in 2006, they decided, because it was the 5th anniversary, that they were going to do something special and release 3 cigars, which were the most popular Limitadas they've done today. So they did the Cohiba Pyramides, the Monte Robusto, and the Partagas Serie D number 3, which I've never had any of those.
I've had the Partagas. It was really good.
Oh, really?
I had my best friend's wedding.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Yeah. I have a friend who's got some Cohiba Pyramides and Sublimes and Double Coronas, and they're totally legit. He's got whole boxes. I've seen them, and it's beautiful.
One of my buddies actually texted me the other day, and he's like, "Hey, is this real?" And it was a picture. He's smoking a Sublime, and I'm like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
I started asking him questions about it, and everything he said lined up, and it looked completely legit. And I'm like, "Dude, you need to go like give that guy a man hug for giving you that cigar." And he's like, "Yeah, he just handed it to me and said he's got more." I was like, "Nice."
Excuse me? Yeah, nice. Yeah. So I've smoked a lot of Limitadas over the years. I think I've had at least one or two from every vintage. The Cohiba 1966 is it's a big one. What did they get, number 2 cigar of the year in 2012 or something like that?
Yeah.
Which I wasn't really blown away by. I smoked it when I was young.
Me neither. I smoked one like a week or so ago, and it was good, but it didn't. I mean, again, I would rather smoke a Beheke 54, 56, or a Siglo 6, honestly.
Yeah. And it's, looking over all of them, looking over the brands, the two brands I know that I've always been disappointed with when it comes to limited editions have always been Romeo and Julieta and Partagas. I think, do you remember the Romeo Dukes from 2009?
Yeah.
Those things tell me you like them. Those are terrible.
No, those sucked.
That is the one stick. If people are like, "Hey, I just saw this box of Romeo Limitada 2009. Are they legit?" Yes, they are, and they're legit because they suck and no one buys them. So that's the reason why they're still there. No one buys them.
Dude, the Romeo that everybody freaks out about, and I've had them, is really good. It's the one from, I want to say it's from 2004. I can't remember off the top of my head because they're so hard to get a hold of. I'll see them pop up from time to time on the boards.
Oh, the Hermosos.
Yeah, I can't remember which year it was. One of my buddies from the forum, a guy that actually introduced me to some really nice folks, he sent me one when I was kind of still getting my feet wet maybe a year and a half ago, and it was fan-freaking-tastic. It was really good. It's the 2004. I'm 99% sure it's the 2004 of Romeo, and everybody freaks out about it, and rightfully so. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was like I just looked at it. 6x48, something like that, around there. There's been a couple good ones. I really actually like the Trinidad Short Robusto tea. The Monty 520 from 2012 was good.
This burn, dude. This is ridiculous.
That's a beautiful burn, man.
Right off the truck, man.
But Monte Cristo, I think, is probably, in my opinion, probably one of the most successful Limitado brands. I don't know. I know people are going to say Cohiba.
I wouldn't say Cohiba. I mean, Cohiba has more misses, it seems, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The only Cohiba Limitada that really anybody kind of freaks out about is a Sublime.
Sublimes are, yeah.
But the Double Corona, people don't really freak out about them. The Pure Mates, yeah, maybe. 1966 is hit and miss, it seems, amongst the smokers, but Sublime is the one that everybody freaks out about from them. But Monty, you know, the, the Robusto, then there was the one that they did in 2006, which I want to say was more of a Corona.
It's the C, wasn't it? No, yeah. There was one of them
C. I've had one of those. It was fantastic. I haven't had a 520 yet, actually, but
it was good.
I haven't had a Sublime. I've got the Sublime that you sent me, so we'll see. The 2010 was the one that I reviewed this week.
The Grande Mundo. Mm-hmm. So, the interesting thing, the 520 was, it's basically a wide Churchill.
Really?
It's a 55 ring gauge. I mean, it was a big ring gauge. I mean, now, you know, this year we're going to get the Cohiba, well, next year we'll get the Robusto Supremus, that Cohiba with a 58 ring gauge. But, yeah, it was a 55 ring gauge, so that's kind of a big deal. So do you want to now talk about the Grande Mundo, because when was the first time you smoked it?
Well, if some of you read my review this week on HabanosCritic.com, I wasn't extremely impressed with it. The first time I smoked this cigar, you know, it was a couple years ago, and it was fantastic. The first one I had was fantastic. I mean, I had it, and it was awesome. I loved it. Very, very good. And so then after a while, I was like, man, before they disappeared from the market, right when they were starting to disappear, I asked a buddy of mine to trade for wine, and I just wanted to make sure that it was good. And so I smoked another one, and it was fantastic. It was great. So then I ended up grabbing a box from my friendly neighborhood local LCDH, and you know they at the time I want to say it was like $106 for 10 of them, and which I think is a fair price, honestly. And
How much did you get it for?
$160.
That's a really good price. Really good price.
And so, anyways, I smoked one from that box, you know, when I got it a while back, and it was fantastic. And I hadn't smoked one since, and the one that I smoked for this review was not as good. And you know, it may be that my nostrils are fried right now, so that might have some to do with it. But really, I mean, overall, I just remember it being a much more complex cigar the last time I had it. So now my experience with Monty has been they definitely go through their phases, and they have their up and down phases until they hit a certain time frame, and once they hit a certain age, kind of like H. Upman, once they hit a certain age, they're just amazing from then on out, you know, for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Assuming that they're stored properly. So while this one wasn't the best experience I've ever had with them, my guess is probably I'll probably wait and not revisit them for another 2 years. Just let them sit until they really have, you know, until that tobacco has 7 or 8 years down on it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's,
It was weird. I mean, you know, Monty's have that kind of that charred oak or mesquite or just smokiness flavor to them. And it didn't arrive until the final third. The final third was fantastic. The final third was what I come to expect from Monte Cristo and specifically a cigar of that caliber. So, once it hit that part, it was really, really good, and I you know, was enjoying it immensely. But it just didn't seem like the finish wasn't very long in the first third, and in the middle it just kind of went, phew, it just died, it was gone,
yeah.
You know, for a while. Yeah. And then, it had its flat spot. But could have just been that cigar, who knows. It did burn a little funky too, so maybe it was just I just got a bad roll, you know. Who knows?
It happens.
But I am looking forward to the Sublime that you sent me, because I've heard nothing but good things about that, so I can't wait to smoke that. Although you didn't seem to be very impressed with it this time around yourself.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I remember when I first got them, and they're awesome. I was like, these are going to be great. So, you know, I smoked a couple back in 2000. They're smoking better. Delivering a little bit more flavors. I remember the last one I smoked was in 2012, and I was blown away by it. I loved it. Everything about it was just perfect. And then, you know, I light one up just last week, and it wasn't doing anything. It just kind of got flat, and maybe it's just in a little down period. It wasn't because it had been in years past. And you know, I still have two left. So I'll come back to it in a couple of years. I'm not going to go ahead and smoke them, but it was kind of disappointing just because of how much I love that cigar. It was really one of my favorite Montes, and it was one of those limited editions where I said, okay, yeah, this is the cream of the crop. But it's just, you know, it went downhill, and maybe it's just in that period. But it was a cigar, actually, for a long time that, you know, I'd say, oh, I'm going to go smoke the Sublime. It's just a beautiful day. It's just this perfect weather. And then it'd start raining. So it's like, I had bad spells. Like, the weather was just telling me not to smoke it. But it's, you know, then I had the 2012 I smoked. It was just friggin' phenomenal. But you know, who knows? Maybe it just is kind of going to a period. Maybe it is where it is. Maybe I was setting my expectations high. But I know that when I first smoked them, then when I came back to them, they did really well. And the Grand and Mundos in 2010, I really liked them. I didn't think they were going to show that Sublime potential. But it was still young. And I said, you know, I got to come back to them. But I haven't smoked one. I was going to smoke one, but maybe I'll just let it chill for another year before I smoke one and then come back to the other ones.
I would. You know, I had friends who are collectors who went real deep on the Grand Mundo and said, you know, at one time, a couple years to go, that's why I explored it before I got some. So, I don't know. You know, you never know. That's kind of the fun part about it is, who knows, maybe when it hits 8, 9, 10 years, it'll just be
phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, but it's weird because it, to me, the finish typically is what I expect from the higher end stuff to really, really get good, and that I didn't see, so it was kind of weird. But
that's a bummer.
On a side note, how many have they made many of these edition limitadas into regular production? Because isn't the D5 the one?
Yeah, it was a D4. The Partagas, I know.
D5.
Yeah. Partagas is the one brand which I think is the one that really you begin to see these become regular production. You know, H. Upman in 2005 had the Magnum 50, which became regular production.
Yeah.
And I guess you can say Cohiba brought back the Pyramides when they released the Pyramides, even though it's the Pyramides Extra.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these other ones just never really have become limited, you know, regular productions. It's the one that I would have loved, and I'm trying to, the 2012 H. Upman Robusto. I'd love to see an H. Upman Robusto. They have a great variety in the brand, but it's just, I'd love to see
a Robusto. Connoisseur 1 is pretty close.
True.
I mean, that's pretty much a Robusto. That's why I didn't buy them, because because they have the Royal Robusto, and then they have the limited one. They also had the Mag 48, which was really good.
Oh, the HMM Mag 48, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was one that I've smoked several of, and all of them were really good. It was kind of like one of those cigars that you're like, it's just so small, it's hard for me to justify paying the extra money for it, but then you smoke them, they're just so good. And a lot of people also freaked out about that Ramon Iones.
Oh, the Iones Extra? And that's...
Yeah,
that's a lot of them are like La Casa de Habano cigars.
Yeah.
Which is great when I just go down to my LCBH and I can just go pick them up. But yeah, it's one of those things that...
What's interesting is they keep producing them. You know what I mean? Like the Ramon Iones, they keep producing.
Yeah. It was supposed to be just like this 2011 LCDH thing or something like that, but they just keep making them.
Yeah, it's I don't know. That was been a really weird one because those keep getting produced over and over and over again. I mean, they were at least produced through 2013. Because they had 2013 box codes.
Yeah.
And the same with the 1966. 1966 had 2013 box codes, you know, which was really, really weird. It was like, here's a limited edition, but we're going to make them for 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
And but I guess that means they were selling that well that...
They just decided to do it. But, you know, they managed to keep a very low profile about doing it. So... But, you know, for the most part, though, I will say that, and, you know, we touched on this last show, Habanos does a good job of what they say. They make a limitada. It is what it is, and it's done.
That's the thing, too, is once they go away, the ones that were good become very, very sought after and expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like the Sublimes, the Cohiba Sublimes, are, if you can find them, you're going to pay $80 to $100 for one.
Yeah, and you can get them. You just got to be willing to pay that money, and you got to look for them. I'm sure if you travel to a couple, you know, really reliable, solid places, you could get them. Doesn't Orshan collect a lot of these stout things?
Yeah, you know what? His thing is, I think, I can't verify this, but I think for a lot of stuff like that, he buys them and he just puts them away. You know, he's really an investor in that regard. What he does specifically is, just like he did the selection or chant with Regis, he does the same thing with Habanos. So what he'll do is, for instance, Bolivar Bellicoso Finos in 2007, he really liked the production in 2007, so he found the box code that he liked, the factory code, you know, month that he liked and tobacco that he liked, and he procured all of them, or as many of them as he could, from Habanos. So let's say it was, you know, the May factory code, BSE, whatever. So what he does is he goes and he procures all of those from Habanos, or as many as he can, as they'll give him or whatever, and then he puts his extra Orchant band on it, just like the same band that you'll see on the... on the Regis. And then he ages them and then sells them, you know, years later at an increased price.
Yeah.
You know. He does it with a bunch of different stuff. He had the Quai d'Orsay, I know your favorite brand. He did one of theirs.
Love it.
I think he's really in it for the investment for the long haul. So he's the kind of guy that if he's buying up stuff like that, he's put it away and he ain't even touching it for half a dozen years until they've really matured and gained that market value that he can, you know, return on his investment, you know.
Yeah, I've seen this with a couple of Habanos store guys who, you know, they inspect these boxes and they see, you know, they kind of determine the quality of the cigars in that box, and they're like, you know, this is excellent quality. So it's they put it away, and there is a premium involved with that, but and I know firsthand you're getting a really quality stick because of it. I know I bought from this one store, he was saying, listen, these are really high quality Boulevard Royal Coronas. I mean, these are just beautiful. They're perfect.
Yeah.
So I bought a box. I mean, he was absolutely correct. I mean, they're the best Royal Coronas I've seen. They smoked wonderful. It was just a terrific batch. And that was TEB08, man. That was a TEB08 purchase right there. So
Well, it seems like to me, at least with all the Edition Limitada stuff, has a really, really dark wrappers. And so it makes me wonder if they, you know, if they're doing anything different in the curing process of the wrapper itself, or if they're just looking for the darker wrappers and sorting them accordingly, the darker wrapper leaf, sorting it accordingly and using it just for that. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking that they do that. You know, my thought on it was they are picking higher grade wrappers. You know, and they're looking at quality as well with that. So it's almost, I want to say, a natural Maduro coloring that they're getting.
Absolutely. And that's what's really interesting. And I found, it seems to me at least, that, you know, because of that darker color, that darker fermentation, typically that's, you know, it's changing the sugar composition of the leaf itself. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, you get more of those Maduro-ish type flavors out of those cigars. And there's only a few brands that those will kind of show up on from time to time. The Vegas Urbana will kind of show up with those dark wrappers.
Yeah. Monte Cristo shows up with darker wrappers.
Monte Cristo does. And sometimes San Cristobal will as well. But, you know, it's kind of weird because I want to say this is why I haven't been a huge fan of most Edition Limitada. I know guys who were huge fans of the Edition Limitada stuff. And for me, it just seems that it's like the regionals, it's hit and miss. I do think some of them are, most of the Edition Limitadas I smoke are really good. But that wrapper flavor, I think imparts something that's just different to me than what I normally like. And I think it almost kind of gives them a little less, how do I want to say it? A little less complexity from brand to brand. You know what I mean? It just seems like every Edition Limitada I smoke kind of tastes the same, if you will.
They're richer. You know? Yeah.
And
I see what you're saying.
And it's only the Monte Cristos are the ones, the Monte Cristo Edition Limitadas are the ones that when I smoke them, I'm like, okay, this tastes like a Monte Cristo, just kind of changed and kicked up a notch, you know what I mean?
You nailed it and you hit it on the head, because if you smoke a Cohiba Limitada, it does not smoke like a Cohiba. Mm. It is not. It doesn't smoke like one. It's not.
Same
it's
with
not
the Partigas, same with Ramon Alones.
Romulus is the same.
That's why I don't like them. I think it was the Hoyo Pyramids from 2011. Those were, they sucked.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I didn't think the short pyramids. Yeah, the H.F. and Robusto, I mean, I remember having one, and it was good, but it didn't blow me away, you know? And so it was just kind of like, eh. So I didn't go after them. And being an H.F. and whore, I normally would, but the Mag 48, that was really good, you know? It was just kind of, I think it was just so short, it kind of turned me off. The size turned me off for some reason. I don't know why. But I've smoked a half dozen of them or so, and they've been really, really good. They've always been good. And they still seem to be popping up here and there around on the market. So not a lot of people, I think, really got into that.
What, the H.M. Magnum 48?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the 2006 Partigas and the 2010 Partigas were really good. I was very, very impressed with those. They had Partigas flavors, but they were really different, you know. Enough that I really, they were impressive. But stuff like the Ramon Alones Extra, but you know, I have buddies who swear by those things. They're really good, and I like them. I'm actually going to review one here soon to see if they've changed any from when I first got them years ago.
Yeah.
But it just depends. I haven't been too impressed with most stuff outside of those lines, really. The Monte Cristo line specifically was the one that has really impressed me more than anything. Although I haven't had a 520 yet. Have you had a 520 yet?
Yeah, I had the 520. It was good. I wasn't The packaging on it was really nice. I mean, I know that doesn't really matter, but you know, when I compare it, it's very different than those two 08 and 10s, which were the cedar boxes. The 520 had, it was almost like this regular Monte Cristo box, but then there was like a story in it, and it was
really,
there was something a little bit different. Yeah, I remember I was playing around with the box.
Was there a significance to the 520 or not?
There is, and I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I'll look it up so that way we can tell people what it is. But there was a significance to it, and I just can't remember what it is. But you know, that's one of the reasons why I liked the short Robusto T, was because it did show some of those Trinidad qualities, but with that darker wrapper, there was a little bit of sweetness to it, and that Trinidad flavor profile in general just has a drier, more natural flavor
drier
profile.
Kick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely has a kick to it as well, which is why I haven't been a huge fan of the Trinidad. Even the H stuff you sent me was good. I mean, it was really good. It just wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, but I've heard a lot from a lot of people that little Robusto that they did was awesome.
So, and it's one of those things that there is going to be some differences, but I know I like what you say in the fact that you kind of just want to know. I'd rather have a Limitada which is similar to the core brand. Oh, by the way, why it's called Monte Cristo 520? It was the 520th anniversary since 1492.
Okay.
I knew it was something along those lines. So, and it's just that's one of the reasons why. Sometimes I love them, sometimes I don't. I think there's a couple brands. Monte Cristo, as we said, sticks to what Monte Cristo is. You know, I think Partagas sometimes doesn't. I don't think Cohiba does, and the Romeo Duke was just such a disaster that it just kind of killed my feelings on it.
I'm trying to think of any others that really have stood out to me over the years. Did Punch ever do one?
Yeah, they did a series Oro number 2.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I've never had one. I've never had one before, which means it probably wasn't sought after. Or if it is, it's too expensive for my blood. One of the two, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely gonna be expensive. I mean, Oya's one Limitada that I just really never go to, just because I don't go to the brand in general. But
I don't think I've ever heard of anybody giving a crap about any of theirs. Or actually, didn't. Yeah, it wasn't the Punch. Wasn't it recent?
Yeah, it was last year. It was the last year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. I have seen some of those popping up now that I think about it, and people seem to be enjoying it, if you will.
The Limitadas need time. I do think the Limitadas need time.
Which is weird, because they're supposed to have aged tobacco in it.
Yeah, they do the complete. I mean, it's one of those things. You know, you can smoke them fresh, but it's one of those. They are just going to do a lot better with time. And to be honest with you, I think Habanos kind of looks at the limited edition programs like what a limited edition should be looked at, and meant to be kind of collected, and not just something that, hey, I'm just going to go smoke it and light it up. Who cares? It's you look at a limited edition from Cuba. If you have a 2006, it's going to be worth a crap ton of money right now. I mean, you're going to increase the cost. Well, you know, you really have a limited edition of a non-Cuban, it's not as that big of a deal. It really isn't. It's not like you can really mark up those prices in years to come. I mean, it's like the one thing that comes to mind are these, you know, Don Pepin El Centurions from 2007.
Yeah.
Great stick. Could you sell them for the cost, which you could, like a Habanos in the future? No, absolutely not. No one would buy them like that.
Yeah, the only company that I could think about that really, maybe you could say yes, is like Padron.
Padron and Puentes.
Like their Millenniums, yeah, and the Opus stuff. If you got some aged Opus, I mean, you're going to command high dollar for that.
Yeah.
You know. But other than that, I mean, I can't really think of anything else. And even the Fuente, I mean, it's that's a really, really small buying circle, if you will, at that point, you know, when you get to that point where, okay, these have 10 years on them, and I'm going to charge a super premium price for them.
Yeah, there's not many.
There's not a lot of guys who are going to pay for that, you know.
No, there are some guys who will,
but
it,
Habanos, that's yeah.
Habano, there's a different breed between Habano smoker and non-Habano smoker, right? and that's what it all boils down to. And Cuba knows how to reach out to those people. They know how to say, hey, I'm going to make a limited edition. It's going to be pricey, but this is a cigar you just put in a box in your humidor and then come back to it in 10 years, and you can sell it for like 5 times the cost plus, or you're going to have an incredibly aged cigar.
By the way, this is freaking good. This is fantastic.
And that's a young farm roll, baby.
Yeah, it's right now, honestly, it's getting to that youth point, you know, where you kind of get that hay flavor, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's all I got to say.
it's like this.
This is going to be good.
This 07 Ramon Iones, typical regular production. Yeah, it's been sitting for 7 years, but it's awesome right now. I'd smoke this over any Limitada, and I can just get them for a hell of a price.
Yeah, you just have to sit and wait on them forever. That's the only problem.
But yeah, you do, but at the same time, you know, you could buy 2 boxes of these for the cost of buying 1 Limitada box. You could enjoy a box for probably about 2 years, and then you have another box you can just let it chill and then just let it get better and better.
Honestly, like some of the, I think that's why some of the Limitadas like the Ramon Iones is so popular, is because it's such a, you know, it's a $12 stick, so it's really not pricing out a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Or the little 10-count boxes that are like $150 or something like that. You know, that's not, they're not pricing folks out of the market on that. It's not $300 for 10 of them, you know?
Yeah. And that's the other thing to continue on, is when they make a limited edition, they're usually making 10-count boxes. So they are making 10-count boxes. They're not making these 50-count chests or something like that, which are just huge. I mean, it's an investment on 10 cigars, but it makes it feel limited. The whole time, you feel like you have something truly limited, when a lot of other people just don't really make you feel like you have a limited stick.
Hold on, I'm going to look something up real quick.
I would almost, and this is what I'd say, I would almost, thinking about non-Cubans, and this would piss some people off, but how much more interesting would the Halloween series by Tatuaje be if he only did 666 boxes and dress boxes?
Oh, you mean in the dress boxes, and the really nice ones?
Yeah, just do 666 of them, and that's it. Don't make all these non-cabinet, just don't make these cabinet boxes. Just do the dress boxes. I mean, watch the interest go skyrocketing from people because of that. It'd be crazier than it would ever be.
Yeah. No, and I mean, really, those dress boxes, the funny thing is, they sell for a lot of money, just the box itself.
Yeah.
Because people freak out about them.
Yeah, people just want to buy a box again, and then get a regular box and put them in there.
Everybody always comes back to the, and that comes back to the collector side of thing, which Pete does that really well, in all honesty.
He collects.
He's got that locked down. So, real quickly, we have a question from the crowd. It says, how much will the farm roll change from today till who knows? And first question, how much do I think it will change? It'll change a lot. I mean, anyway, any cigar, this is not just this, but any cigar is going to change, you know, significantly in the first 6 months, and then it's going to change again at about a year, year and a half, and then from there it just ages better and better and better. Really what it comes down to is the quality of tobacco, and so to answer the second question, what do you think will change, typically what changes in a cigar, in Habano cigars, is how distinct the flavor changes are from each third.
Yeah.
Typically, the way that Habano's blenders blend cigars is they start kind of like a milder medium, and then they pick up and kind of just increase and keep going and going and going. Whereas a lot of non-Cuban cigars will come out and they blast you up front and then they go away and then they come back again. And I think a lot of people misconceive that as complexity. You know, when a cigar comes out and just hits you upside the face with Ligero and then goes away, people are like, oh my God, that was such a great flavor change. Well, it's not necessarily a flavor change. It's just, you're just smoking some really strong crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like it had great flavor. It just had power. And that's, there's a big difference. And I think a lot of the, you know, pretty much almost all Habanos, you know, they're all different. Don't get me wrong. But for the most part, they all have that. They continue to build in complexity and change really distinctly. And I think the biggest difference is what happens is you get your three changes. It's almost like smoking three different cigars. You know what I mean? You'll have like real cocoa flavors, and then you'll have like green farm flavors, and then you'll have smoky something else going on, you know, and you really get that depth that just changes and excites your mind. So to answer the question, I don't think the farm bowl will age any differently than anything else. You know, it's a good, I could tell, I was telling Seth before, the reason why we were late today was, I was telling him just the construction and the feel and the draw were so good on this. When I lit it up, it was very, very impressive. Much higher quality than stuff that that you could get just regular production, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's a follow-up question. What can a dumbass like me look for in a young cigar that will tell me it'll improve with age? That's an interesting question. I want to hear what your take is on that.
That's an excellent question, because it's, to be honest, it's a tough one. The one thing I look at is basically the strength of the tobacco. I do think that the cigar, any cigar, it does need to have. Oh, Harley asked that question. I thought you were asking me that question.
No, Harley. He's asking in the chat. Good question. So I'm pulling these questions from the chat.
Yeah, right. I think it needs to have some strength initially so that it can keep something when it's aging. If it's very soft to begin with, it's gonna lose some of that strength. And my fear with that is that it's gonna lose that when it gets older. And it's just gonna get flat and some of the flavors aren't really gonna be there. So it needs to have some of that strength, so it needs to have some higher priming tobacco in it. With that, I'm looking at a level of complexity with a cigar that it is producing some flavors, and you can tell that there's stuff going on, or that there's some subtle things here and there that with time are really going to make an appearance, or some of the other flavors are going to tame down so that they can all start working well together.
Let me run off what you said right there. You know I love interrupting you.
Yeah, let's do it.
What you said right there is exactly what I'm experiencing in this tonight, so that'll help kind of answer what the question that he's saying. It's not so much, like, what you're smoking, you're going to get really defined, complex, just beautiful flavors out of it. Whereas what I'm smoking, I'm not going to get that, but I got, like, you know, I got a decent flavor at the beginning. And then in the middle, I kind of felt it change a little bit. And then at the end, I'm feeling it change again when I just, you know, the part of the show that prompted these questions when I was like, man, this is really good. It's going to age well. So I think you're 100% right there when you say, you know, when it's young, when you get those, you start to detect some flavor changes and those kinds of things. They're only going to get better with age. They're only going to get better. So for a young cigar, what either of us are looking for is not necessarily real defined, perfect, distinct notes. It's just distinct flavors that will develop, that we know will develop over time, I guess. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, and, you know, it's Cohiba does this this is the truth for Cohiba, and I'll give them that, and I really do believe it. And you see it with really good Robustos, you see it with some Siglo 6s, or even Esplendidos. When they're young, there's this flavor profile which is very Cohiba, and it's almost, it's just very tight. It's very concentrated, and you can get it, but it's just like, it's almost like a fist punch, and you're not going to get everything with it. But with age, it begins to really open up. It blooms, and it's like a flower. And you really get to see those flavors. Now, with Cohiba, it takes a very long time for that to get there. But if you smoke an aged Cohiba that's been aging correctly, you're going to get a lot of those qualities. And you're going to be picking up a crap ton of stuff there. And that's one of the reasons why Cohiba is praised the way it is. H. Upman does a good job of doing that, but in a shorter period of time. Because they offer you a little bit more earlier on. Boulevard does it in a unique way of, you know, typically if you can get a really strong Boulevard or just full-flavored, full-bodied, some good strength, it's going to deliver those flavors, but with time, it's going to kind of take a back seat a little bit, and those flavors are really going to be able to show more with that strength fading down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I think Vegas Urbana is a company, is a brand that's like that as well, too, with the similar to Boulevard. Like, the young Vegas Urbana stuff is really strong. I mean, it's freaking punch you in the face strong, a little bit in a different way than Boulevard. But like you've experienced, because I sent you some older stuff, when they age, it's so weird. They keep that strength, and then everything around it just kind of wakes up. And Lajero Leaf is going to burn. It's going to be thicker, darker. It's going to burn heavier than anything else. That's why when you get a cigar, a young cigar, and if it's burning like this, you know, and the ash is like a pyramid, and it's real hot in the center, and it's burning funky, it's that Lajero Leaf is burning all weird. Or sometimes it's either a pyramid or an inverted pyramid, depending upon how the leaf is in the roll. A good example of that, a perfect non-Cuban example of that, 1502 Black Gold by Enrique Sanchez. Right, that's just a straight Lajero bomb. And they always burn funky as hell when they're fresh. And that's because that Lajero needs time to really, really break down those oils and settle. So for the Cuban examples, for instance, you know, it could very well, the reason why that's the case with Cohiba is whatever the Lajero leaf that they're using just takes that long to really, really soften and marry with the other primings, the Seco and Velado that are in it, excuse me, and really come alive. And so, for me, I guess it's hard to say, because I guarantee you, and I know you've experienced this. There's so many times where you smoke a fresh Habano and it sucks, and then all of a sudden you revisit it 6 months later and you're like, oh, this is kind of good. And then you revisit it a year and a half later, and you're like, oh, my God, I wish I had, like, three boxes of this, you know?
Boulevard Petit Coronas. I remember the first box I bought of those, I smoked them, and I was like, God, these suck. So I started giving them away. And then I've come back to them over the years, and some of them I have are, like, 8 years later, and it's like, holy crap, why did I give these away? Why did I not hold on to these things?
I had that with the punch petite coordinations.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, thing happened.
I just picked up some San Cristobals because I want to see how they are young, because I know that they do really well with age. And here's another purchase which you're gonna hate, but I want to see how they do with age. I picked up some Cohiba Maduros, baby.
Oh, you're retarded.
I know. It was. I did it for the box. That's what I did. It was the biggest. Just kick me away, man. Send me on the iceberg. Float me away. But I want to see, because I've never aged them. I just never have. Partially because I had this one guy who went nuts over. He saw some of my Cohiba Maduros and was like, "Let me trade you all this stuff for them." Blah 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 blah. I'm gonna give you some Padron Maduros. I'm like, hey, all right, that's a fair deal right there, man. Knock yourself out. What do you got? So.
Well, hey, I'm gonna sidejack the show real quick on something random because I think it's worthy showing. I think this is really cool. Hold on, I'm gonna screen share. Where's it? Okay, here you go. I just looked it up on Google real quick. Did my screen change?
Nope. Oh, there it is.
It? Check out the new Port Arenaga, man.
Oh, man.
Isn't that cool?
That's just fancy.
I know, it is,
that
isn't
looks,
it?
That looks nice.
Yeah, that's the Picadores, which is the LCDH Robusto release from them. Came out in 2014. And I know one of the guys was saying that these started to hit, and I started seeing them. You start seeing them pop up, you know, in Canada. Whenever you hear something is hitting the market, they always pop up in Canada. All the brothers up in Canada got them. So I've been seeing them pop up all over Instagram, and I had to look it up. But that's a really cool band. I like what they do with it. I think the other one looks so old. You know, man. But it was a good change. It's a good change.
My poor Larnaga,
I hope they do it with all of them.
My poor Larnaga Petite Corona bands are probably the worst cigar bands out there. I mean, they look terrible. But
yeah.
At the same time, it's just so classic with a stick for me that it's just, you know, why would you want anything else? So that's interesting. You know,
isn't that interesting?
The problem is I'd want to go buy them, but I'd end up buying a box of something that has the old band. So you have to wait like a year to get them.
No, because that's an LCDH release. That was one of the LCDH releases for 2014. So
you think they're gonna have them? You think? I know the problem is getting stock though. I'm wondering if people still have the old crap.
Which is weird is they didn't have the LCDH bands on them. You know what I mean? With the little leaf, the little kind of purplish secondary band.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
It is Habano, so you got to give them. They got to have some faults. I mean,
yeah, they don't do everything right.
No, especially when the bands get put on.
Dude, look at my light.
I know, that's crazy, man.
They got demons coming to get me right now, bro. There's nothing flickering. This is just.
Maybe that's the State Department. Maybe that's what's going on inside my house.
We got some ghosts like coming in and messing with our show right now. That's awesome.
They're gonna shut down one of Margo. But yeah, but getting prepared, we're in our closing 5 minutes. This Saturday, wait a minute, next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
We won't be live. We can't do it live. But we will be on Cigar Jukebox with Dave Burke.
Yeah.
From Brisbane, yeah. Australia.
I'm excited because we're gonna talk about music and I'm a musician, so. Ooh, did you see that? Did you see the ghost was going again? Let me see if I can get the ghost to come back.
He asked what CD I listen to, you know, when I'm smoking. You know, what's the music you listen to when I'm smoking? So I'm like, gosh, how can I do this? So I lit up a bowl, smoked some reefer, and I was like, what do I like to listen to? And then, boom, found out. And I tried it with a cigar. It worked. So.
All right, well, we're not going to talk about it now because, you know, we need to save that for Cigar Jukeboxes. I think it's very cool what he's doing. It's the pairing with music. Who talks about pairing with music? It's freaking awesome.
Well, you got these Canadians who are doing sharing our pairing, so I guess the Australians got to do another sharing. So next thing you know, we'll get the Irish to do something about sharing and all that stuff.
Real quickly, because this came up in the chat real quick, Chef Vert. Chevert, I don't know what his name is, but
Chevert, like Chevron Vert.
He was saying that young Habanos will typically have more of an ammonia or acidic smell, and he's correct. Just to give you guys some clarity on that, typically the ammonia that once a cigar is rolled fresh, it releases ammonia through the foot, and it has to go through that fermentation, like a secondary fermentation period before it's ready to go. So that's any cigar, in all honesty. The reason why you would see that in a Habanos specifically is because the tobacco isn't aged nearly as long as the Nicaraguan stuff, and so that's why you see it. But it's very common now. I find it in the non-Cuban world. It's very common because everybody's trying to release stuff so fast to the market. A lot of times you'll get non-Cuban stuff that you smoke it and it has that ammonia flavor, and it's like, dude, this is terrible. And then
Rocky Patel Rocky Patel 1961. I remember when I took that cigar out of the cellophane. This, I can't remember when these were released. Who gives a shit? They don't even make them anymore. And my mom was in the room. She's like, God, I can smell that ammonia.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And it was terrible. Yeah. And then once the ammonia went away, the cigar was still terrible. But at least it didn't have that ammonia. So,
No, that's really like, the Chev makes a good point there, because really that's what, when you, a lot of times when you smoke some of these young cigars, you'll get that ammonia taste, or a lot of times you'll get kind of a, towards the end, you'll get kind of a grassy, hayish type flavor. And to me, that's the you talking, and that'll go away with time. It typically goes away with time. So I got a little bit of that on here at some point in time, but it went away, so no big deal. And before we end too, I want to give a shout out to the Cigar Federation Shed. As usual, we are doing our Project Manana raffle right now, and I know I mentioned this on our last show. I want to say there's 12 days left. If you go to CigarFederation.com, you'll see it on the front page. You can look and click to donate. Unlike some shows and some websites where if you donate money, they try and raise money for scooters and motorcycles. We are trying to help orphans in the Dominican Republic right now. So
we're trying to get them a jet ski. We're trying to get these orphans a jet ski.
Yeah. No, we're trying to get them jet skis and jet packs so that they can
honestly,
fly around.
Donate them in the
kitty powers.
Yeah.
So, anyways, get to the point. Check it out. We're 33% of the way to our goal. We appreciate everybody who supported us on it. It's a very good deal. You know, you donate $10, and there's a chance that you're going to win a box of cigars from one of many wonderful companies out there that have donated to help us. So, if you get a chance, go stop by the site, drop $10, help out the kids in the Dominican, and you might win some stuff. So,
you drop off if you donate over $100. Logan will do an ice bucket challenge in a bikini.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. That'd be great, though. I should have said 1,000 and see if someone donates $1,000. So.
Oh, it just. By the way, Chev asked what was the conclusion of our cheap smoke reviews, and we haven't made our conclusion yet. We still got one left to do, and then I want to run a forum poll to see what some of the other smokers out there think as well.
We like to drag things. We like to drag things on, Chev. It's going to take us.
Well, you know, we were having a quinceañera, so it made sense to smoke an Edition Limitada Monte Cristos. You know what I mean, as opposed to Jose Piedras. You know, I mean, would you smoke a Jose Piedra at your quinceañera?
No. So, but man, I'll tell you one thing. Our next episode, 16. I just looked it up in Spanish. Holy crap, dude. We're entering into a world of long words up ahead for these.
What is
it? The ACCAs.
Dude, that sounds like a murdering gang member from Mexico who's going to, like, shoot people in the face.
Chuck Norris right? Versus the ACCAs.
ACCAs, you know, with his homeboy Machete. That'd be awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So that's the conclusion of What Amargo episode Quince. So check us out at HabanosCritic.com.
Yeah, forums.HabanosCritic.com. And our show, What Embargo, is live at CigarFederation.com. You can get us from Apple iTunes. You can download our podcast and listen to all the bullshit we have to say every week.
We're working.
Apparently some people don't like looking at us.
Well,
they don't like watching us.
Those motherfuckers. We're working on a calendar for 2015. You can pre-order it now.
We're both wearing red. I mean, we're matching. Although I think you're wearing, what are you wearing? What is that?
Ottawa Senators, baby.
Oh, yes, right. Hockey's coming back.
Gran Habano.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, I got this from George Rico's mom. She,
Mrs. Rico? Nice.
Yeah, from Mrs. Rico, dude. I was at the show last year, and I was talking to her and his brother, and you know, I didn't want to bother George. I talked to him for a second, but I didn't want to bother him because he was busy, you know, making deals and selling cigars, and told him that, you know, the Zulu was on my yearly one of my cigars of the year, and his mom was like, "Oh, thank you so much. Here, have this T-shirt." He's like, "Yeah, love swag, dude.
Swag.
So, great shirt."
I'll talk about the Piedra on Tuesday, Chev.
Yeah, you want to do the Piedra?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, I might do that.
We just did Limitadas. Might as well kick it down a notch.
Yeah, I may do that this week too. We'll see if I can smoke. So,
Joe Stone.
All right, guys. That's it.
Have a good evening, y'all.
We will talk to you again.